Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Our worship team, have a seat. Our worship team is anointed. I said our worship team is anointed. I mean the Spirit of the living God is in this place. And it's powerful. He is powerful. It's not an it. He is powerful. The transforming message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is so amazing. We're going to get some lights adjusted here and you'll see me a little bit better. And then I'll get to see you a little bit better. Because I'm going to give you some light for note-taking. Because I hope you'll take some notes today. I hope that God reveals something to you so clearly that, yeah, give me these a little bit brighter too. There you go. These right up in here so I can read. Beth is like, Beth's got the lever. She's going, woo-woo, woo-woo. She's watching me. She's playing with me. It's all right, Beth, I get the last word.
Hey, listen, we
I think I saw Gene's hand actually reach over. I think I saw Gene's hand do that to me. Okay, I get the hint. We love you guys in the booth. Amen. Give the booth tech people a hand. They are people of sacrifice. Bernie is our traditional service guy on our tech service. I'm not joking with you. Let me tell you something. When most of us are not here in the building, Gene and Beth and their tech team are in the building. Almost anything happens, whether they're weddings or sad occasions like funerals. We do have a memorial service coming up. One of our own passed away just this last week, Earl Stricker. If you remember Earl and Charlotte Stricker that attended this church for years, Earl was my golf instructor. I was able to lead Earl to Christ, and I never got good at it. He called me over just this last week, by the way, and he wanted to say goodbye. And he laid there with tears streaming down the back of his eyes, down into his ears. He just laid there. And he said, I love you. I love you. And I said, I love you, buddy. I love you, buddy. I said, hey, Earl, who do you want to see when you get there first? And he looked up. You know that sweet smile Earl always had? He's the sweetest, I mean, he's this lovable guy. And he's laying there and he goes, my mom. And he smiled real big. I said, oh my goodness, that'll be good, won't it? He says, and my dad. I said, that will be good. What are you thinking, Earl? What are you thinking? He said, maybe one or two more days. Well, God gave him 5 more days with his family. And he yesterday went to be with the Lord, yesterday morning. And so we're celebrating on the 17th, right, Pam? Is that what I said? The 17th. I don't know the time of the memorial service, but it will be here in this auditorium on the Saturday, the 17th in the morning. It'll probably be a 10 or 11 start. We'll put the word out as soon as we know. But it's guys like, you know, it's events like that, that our tech team is always there. And they're here hours before and they're here hours after, making sure everything is shut down properly, because if you flip the wrong switch, you can blow the whole scene. So it's an amazing sacrifice. So would you give, seriously, all of our tech teams a huge hand for their sacrifice? I want to honor on this Memorial Day. Can I get my ushers, here we go, my welcome team. I'd like to move the American flag dead center stage right here, if you would. And they asked me, they are so good. Our welcome team takes care of me. Every Sunday morning they came up to me, what do you need? What's going to be special today? Well, this is the one thing I actually forgot to tell them. But we're going to move the flag over here, and we are getting ready to play the theme song of every branch of the United States Armed Forces. And we want to honor those of you who are actually here with us today. I want to take just a moment to honor those who have fallen. Those who have fallen, that is what Memorial Day was actually all about in the beginning. It was about the fallen for our country. Those who have sacrificed the ultimate sacrifice. And the families, by the way, that were left to stand at a graveside and shed tears. There's as much sacrifice for them as there was on the battlefield. And so I want, if we could, we're going to play the theme song of every one of those armed forces. And when you hear yours, would you stand? And just remain standing, by the way. So here we go. Let's give it a whirl. Here we go. For those who have sacrificed, we honor them. For those of you who wore the uniform, today we honor you as well. Stand when you hear your song. Bring it up just a little bit, guys. There we go. If you know it, you can sing it. If you were in the uniform, you ought to know the words. Here we go. Go ahead and remain standing. Go ahead and remain standing if you would. Go ahead and remain standing. I know you don't want to. Navy. Army, Navy. We could have a rivalry here with football, you know. We could do an old scrimmage. And I don't mean old as in age. Here we go. That would be Air Force. Gary, did you serve? You might as well stand up. You know this one. United States Marines. Stand in honor of all of our veterans and give them a hand. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to talk to you this morning about introducing the real Jesus to the world. You know, it's the greatest privilege. Thank you, gentlemen. It is the great, give our welcome team a great hand too. They display it well. You can tell Dexter's been military. He carries it well. He does. He carries it right. So yeah, there, you got it on there? Got it. Okay. So I want to talk to you though this morning about the greatest privilege that you and I have. And that is the privilege of talking about and giving away the message of the Master. I will tell you, I've got a scripture that I want to read to you from Jeremiah, and I just want you to capture, and I've got it from the Amplified Version, I want you to capture with our finite minds as much as possible today. Now, I know some of us have been out partying all weekend because it's Labor Day or it's a Memorial Day weekend. And I know you were up late last night and I know we're tired, but I want you to grasp. I want you to grasp that people are looking around like, who did that? Where were you all last night? I was in bed at 9:30, you know. So I was watching a Cardinal game. Thank God. But anyway, by the way, this is between you and me, even though it's being recorded on the podcast. Every time the Cardinals win, Dad walks around the house. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you, that racks my nerves. Praise the Lord. You can edit that if you want to. That's my dad. He gives God glory for everything. He does. He does. He really does. Lord, I'll tell you, that oil doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be changed. Praise God. I'll save $38. Praise God. That's my dad. It is amazing to live with a man that gives God glory for every small thing and every big thing in life. And I mean, he'll pray longer over a bowl of cereal. He will. He's just thankful for that bowl of cereal, man. It's amazing. My dad, that's my dad. It's always been my dad. He's the sweetest man, I'll tell you. But we've got this privilege. See, I had the privilege of watching the sweetest man in the world give away Jesus. I actually really did. People loved talking to my dad about faith. And I can remember when I was a 12-year-old boy, I can remember all these pastors that were coming in getting their hair cut by my dad. And in fact, when I was 12 years old was the first sermon I ever put together. Gary Denbo was getting his hair cut by my dad and Gary helped me put it together. You all know Gary. Some of you do know Gary Denbo, pastor of Christian Chapel up in Columbia, Missouri. Gary is just now a former president of CBC, the Central Bible College in Springfield. Great brother in the Lord. But I used to listen to my dad talk about the Lord at the chair all the time. And he wasn't preaching to anybody. He was just talking about God. There have been times, I'm telling you, when I cut hair, I did it silently. Lord, thank you that I didn't cut too deep into that hair. I mean, there were times I was thanking him that I didn't make the mistake I made on the last five guys. But my dad, actually, he was always talking about, you didn't want to shave by me, by the way. Man, you never wanted to shave by me. It was the bloody experience. So it was not good. That's true. I'll tell you in private sometime all about it, the last guy I shaved. And I was thankful. I thanked the Lord he survived. And it was my barber test, and I passed the test. But I threw a lot of steam towels on those open wounds. If you know, yeah, that's what I mean. His feet kept rising up. That's the truth. That's God's, before the Lord, that's the truth. His feet kept rising up every time I threw steam towels on it. But there's times where I would listen to my dad. I would listen to the message of the gospel. He was never preaching, hey, you need Jesus. You're going to hell. It was always this, he just lived this Jesus thing. He lived what we refer to as the Christ life. He just constantly lived the Christ life. Always, you guys have known my dad for years, just he kind of lived this whole humble, he lived a true life of humility and always pushed others forward and he says to me, it's the greatest honor of my life to hear someone say, aren't you Barry Ivy's dad? Used to be it was, aren't you Billy Ivy's son? And it switched somewhere along the line. He said, that doesn't bother me. That's the greatest honor I could ever be paid. Because you see, that's the humility of my dad. I saw Jesus given away in a unique way as a child. I used to see people come over to our house. I mean for months at a time, kind of come over to our house. I mean, we had not only missionaries that would come and live with us and evangelists come and live with us, but when their kids would get into some trouble and needed some time off the road, my mom and dad opened our house. We had extra bedrooms and they just loved on those kids. My parents lived the life of Christ. And I'm wondering sometimes if we're really giving away this Jesus in the real package that he lived. How many saw this morning, I always forget his name, Brian Houston from Israel. How many saw his teaching this morning? He was standing, I think, on the right on that step area of where the Sermon on the Mount was preached, and it had an audience way in front of him. It was amazing. This Jesus actually walked the face of the earth, and he is not a boring God. Well, I got one to agree. Okay. I'll come over here with the one that agreed. This Jesus actually walked the face, and Brian Houston is talking about what behind me here. This is what Jesus did, and this is where he did. And I mean, the world, I'm not just going to say life-changing moments took place there. I'm talking about world-changing moments took place in that 3 years that Jesus walked that area. And he never went, by the way, more than 200 miles from his birth city. And yet he changed the world. This is an amazing person. Even if they don't believe in his deity, this is an amazing person. The whole world calendar, other than the Jewish calendar, was changed. They still recognize our calendar, though. The whole world calendar was changed because of these 3 years. This is an amazing God that you and I serve. And yet, have you ever noticed we can give away the most boring version of Jesus? We're 60 years of age and we're still praying, "Now I lay me down to sleep." We're still reciting prayers. We're still living on milk information. Let's look at Jeremiah 33, and I just want to, I'm gonna read actually verse 1 to you, and then Jeremiah, I'm going to show you that in a second. Jeremiah, I brought Andy with me and Barney this morning, as you can tell. I want to read Jeremiah chapter 33. I want to read to you verse 1. It said, "While Jeremiah was still confined in the courtyard of the guard, the word of the Lord came to him a second time." Now I'm going to read it out of the Amplified for you. "Israel was holiness, something set apart for ordinary purposes, dedicated." That's not it. It's Jeremiah 33. Can we jump to Jeremiah? I'm going to just read it to you. Here we go. Jeremiah 33, here it is. Jeremiah 33, "While Jeremiah was still confined in the courtyard," I'm going to read it out of the NIV, "of the guard, the word of the Lord came to him a second time. This is what the Lord says, he who made the earth." Everybody say, "He made the earth." Oh, he's be boring. Now, he's got to be a boring guy. I mean, I just want to drive home the point. I want to talk about who we're really talking about this morning. This is what he says. "He who made the earth." Okay, here we go. Here's what he says. "The Lord who formed it and established it, the Lord is his name." Do we have it up there? 33, here we go. "Call to me," now listen to this, "call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things." Oh, that's a boring God. I mean, we give such a weak version away, but we don't give this Jesus away. "I'll show you great and mighty things." You mean that God of this universe actually responds to you? He commands us. He doesn't say, "If you'll call." He says, "Call on me." It's a command. "And I will show you the things you want to see. Things you can't even imagine, I'm going to show you. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great." By the way, what's better than great? "And mighty things fenced in and hidden." In other words, if we don't ask him to show us, he's not going to show us. It'll never be revealed. "You have not," the word says, "because you ask not." And we get away. He's our Savior, Lord Jesus. We love you so much. You're our Savior. And we think, and I believe he is the Savior. But we paint such a bland picture of who he is. And I wonder, cause can I just tell you something? When Jesus walked the earth, in that 3 years of his ministry, you couldn't keep people from following him. He was anything but boring. In fact, even if they weren't believers, they said, we got to go watch this guy. You know, he gives sight to the blind. He puts, you know, legs back underneath those who are lame. I mean, we've seen this in that guy Lazarus that was dead. He's alive. This is the God we're talking about. And we give such a, you know, you need Jesus as your Savior so you'll go to heaven when you die. I mean, isn't that truth? That is truth. But he's so much more than that. He is the creator of the world who actually tells me, oh, son, call on me and I will show you great and mighty things that I've held in a private fenced-in yard from those who don't care, who don't call me their God. I'll show you great and mighty things, which you don't know yet, by the way. He goes on to say, which you don't know. Do not distinguish and recognize or have knowledge or understand. In other words, I'm going to open revelation to you of who I am. And I want you to know his name is the Lord. That's what was written here. This is what is actually written here. And his name is the Lord. And yet, even in church, this is the version of Jesus we all give away. Go ahead. Give us a little bit of, it's not just limited to church. This is the life we give away of Jesus. Here we go.
We are greatly honored today. It is our happy privilege to welcome to our midst a very dear friend of mine, Dr. Harrison Everett Breen of New York City. Dr. Breen has interrupted his vacation to join us in worship this morning and to bring us, I know, an inspiring message. Dr. Breen.
Thank you, Dr. Tucker. As I stood there during the singing of the hymn, I asked myself, what message have I to bring to these good people of Maybury? And I was reminded of an incident. A young man came to me recently and said he, Dr. Breen, what is the meaning of it all? And I said to him, young man, I'm glad you asked. My friends, I wish more of us found the time to ask that question. Whither are we headed and why? Why the senseless rush, this mad pursuit, this frantic competition, this pace that kills? Why do we drive ourselves as we do? In our furious race these days to conquer outer space, are we not perhaps forgetting inner space? Shall we find the true meaning of life by fleeing from it? Consider how we live our lives today. Everything is run, run, run. We bolt our breakfast. We scan the headlines. We race to the office. The full schedule and the split second. These are our gauges of success. We drive ourselves from morn to night. We have forgotten the meaning of the word relaxation. What has become of the old-fashioned ways? The simple pleasures in life. Who can forget, for example, the old-fashioned band concert at twilight on the village green? The joy, the serenity of just sitting and listening. This is lost to us, and this we should strive to recapture. A simple, innocent pleasure. And so I say to you, dear friends, relax. Slow down. Take it easy. Watch your hurry. What indeed, friends, is your hurry?
Okay, that's good enough. See, you get the point? You like it? We're boring the world to death with Jesus. We are boring the world. How do I know that? Because they're not running after him anymore. We're not giving away the real Jesus. We're giving away this whatever kind of conversation. People are desperate. People are desperate. They are falling away out of the church, right and left. In the last days, the Bible says these things are going to happen. Can I tell you something? We are living in the last of the last days. We're giving away the wrong Jesus. We're giving away this churchy Jesus. And there's blue seats that will continue to be empty until we have an experience, a personal experience with the God that actually created the stars, blew them into existence, named them, probably gave him one of your names, by the way. This is the God who created all of the universe. And he took the time. He made the animals all breathe. But he took the time to breathe his very own breath into man. Because man is that special to him. After all of the creation, he actually took the time and he said, now let's make man in our image. This is not a boring God. This is not a boring Jesus. We give him the rules, Jesus. We give him the Jesus that says, if you really love Jesus, you won't drink, you won't smoke, you won't chew, and you won't go with girls who do. That's the gospel we give away. How do I know that? Can I just tell you something? I know that there are people that are passionate about their faith. And I know that some of you really do give away this real Jesus. I'm not saying that it's an indictment of, but I really believe as the pastor of St. Charles River Church, at some point we have to look at, why aren't they flocking to Jesus? Why aren't desperate people flocking to Jesus? Is because just the same as that guy's message would have bored Jesus himself. That's the kind of life we're living, this powerless life. I'll never forget the time I've shared with some of you in the past. This lady calls me up late at night. It was at our house in a major snowstorm. And she said, I need you to come and pray for my mom. She's dying. It was St. Louis University Hospital. Do you remember the story? I'll give you the short version. It was late at night, almost 10 o'clock at night. I need you to come down and pray for her. I don't know if she's saved. I said, pray for her. She hears you. She talked to her. Pray with her. Take authority in that room. Use the word. Use the word. But we can't use the word if we don't know the word. Right. We don't know that he's the one who's hiding things from us until we ask. We don't know that till we read it. And she says, I just need you so badly, Pastor Barry, and I love this family. I said, sweetheart, I may not make it down there. We have a major, over a foot of snow on the ground. I was driving a little white Ford Escort that did pretty good in snow. She said, please, please come down to St. Louis University. And I headed down that direction, and you know the story. I looked for St. Louis University, and I found it. Because I was actually driving through the gates of St. Louis University, and I realized I drove by a park bench. On each side of me were park benches. I drove through the gates of St. Louis University. If you know it very well, you know where I was at then. And I drove right into the property up the sidewalk. I was wondering why the hump, but the snow made it better. I drove right up onto that property. I just backed right back out as straight as I could go until I got back. I think it was Grand. Isn't that Grand down there? So I backed back out onto Grand, and I kept heading towards what I thought was the hospital, and I finally see St. Louis University Hospital. I got up to that woman's room, and I prayed with her, and she died the next morning. We are powerless at times. At times the church gets so paralyzed because we don't really recognize that God who said, I am Lord. Ask me what you want to know, and I'll reveal it to you because you asked, not because you're good enough, not because you spend 10 hours in my word every day. By the way, I know people who spend more time on guilt trips because they, you know, they started a Bible plan and I was going to read 5 chapters a day, and oh my goodness, I got down to 4. Oh, living in guilt. I got down to 2 today, and I'm just not, and they get into this guilt thing, and they're overwhelmed with this guilt thing. I'm just failing God. Wait a minute. You telling me you record every conversation and you talk the same amount of words every day to your spouse? I'm be honest with you. That's one of the reasons why I hesitate telling people read X amount a day. What I tell people, honestly, is read until it gets you. Okay. I'm hooked. I want to go study that. I want to get into that. I want to learn about the God who blew the stars into existence. Wow, there's a lot in there about him. There is a lot in there about this God, this declaration of this amazing God. And I promise you, there will always be people who will reject him because they rejected Jesus. But by the thousands, they follow Jesus, if nothing else, for a great voyeuristic sideshow. It's called Facebook. Oh, I'm sorry. It just can't, it happens that way. There were people, you mean everybody got right motives on Facebook? Is that what you're saying to me? I'm just saying, do you know there were people who followed Jesus for voyeuristic purposes? It's a great, you know, it's, if your day is boring and you need a little food, He'll do miracles for you and will teach great teachings, by the way. There were those who followed just, and they didn't believe. How do I know that? Because they left him. The evidence isn't how great a crowd can you stir. The evidence is how great a crowd can the crowd you brought in stir. The evidence is when we start not just worshiping Jesus here in the auditorium. The evidence is when the harvest starts coming in. That's what Pentecostalism really is. It's about the harvest. It's the feast of the harvest. It's celebrating the harvest. And when we start giving away the Jesus of the Bible, that's the Jesus that people will flock to. Rex, you know the story of Rex? Now, and I know there are people who don't like to hear their kids to hear stories like this. And so forgive me. Here's the truth. I'm going to tell you, Rex had just smoked enough marijuana the night he got saved. He had just smoked enough. He was high. He was at a Dairy Queen in Pennsylvania. And he went to this Dairy Queen, and these United Pentecostal kids had a van full of kids. And they pulled up there and they all got out, and Rex is intrigued just by looking at them. And he goes inside, and they're happy. It's a youth group, you know. They're a little bit older, but it's a youth group, and they're happy. And it was a Sunday night, just come from church, and they were great examples of the love and mercy. And they bought Rex a burger, and they were just enjoying talking to him about faith. And he said, "You mean this Jesus that you're talking about? He's not the one I've heard about." So they said, "Here, read about him." They gave him a Bible. Rex goes, now listen, this is the type of a result I'm talking about. It's not just how big a crowd you can bring in. It's how much passion does the crowd use to go out and bring others in. You getting that? So this is Rex, my mentor. He goes, he reads that night. He told me 33 times, because he's a speed reader, a student at Penn State. He reads 33 times the gospel. Those 4 gospels that night. And he said the next morning, "Wow, this is not the Jesus I heard about. This guy was a rule guy that everybody told me about. This Jesus, he's fascinating. He's amazing. I want to know more about this guy." So he goes to church the next Sunday where those kids went to church. And then, by the way, they're all singing. And he comes in overalls, no shirt, no shoes, long hair, sets down, grabs a song. Okay. So he starts singing loudly. And some of the ladies that were sitting on his pew kind of scooted down away from him. And then it came time to a birthday song, you know. It was time to celebrate dear sister so-and-so's birthday. And they had a special church song. Remember this one? A happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you. Well, Rex is thinking, I know happy birthday. That's a song I know. So, happy. And he starts thinking, they even have their own birthday song. This is strange. But the Jesus of this book got a hold of Rex. Let me tell you the result. Rex became the national director for the youth for the Assemblies of God all across out of Springfield. He said it's the scariest 6 years he ever had in his life. But he was in Springfield for 6 years. Then out of that, he comes to pastor St. Charles First Assembly here. Out of St. Charles First Assembly, we grew from about 300 to about 700 or 800 during his stay. Out of that, six full-time pastors and many. And one, Rene Pilsing, was a missionary to India. God raised up and raised up and raised up. And out of that church, over six church plants have been raised up. Out of that church, I witnessed two of those church plants, and I gave the third that I experienced. This is a church plant from First Assembly. So this man that preached this different Jesus than I've ever heard was a result of a bunch of kids giving away this fresh version of who Jesus really is. Now, let me give you even one more. And you know the story. This young lady sits here, these two young ladies that sits here, and the grandchildren. Lester Shockley was my pastor as my childhood. He was my pastor. Karen's mother was his daughter, his and Duke's daughter. These girls are her daughter. In other words, let me just tell you what I'm doing. I'm pastoring today the great-great-grandchildren of the man I heard preach the gospel as a child. Be careful who you're speaking the gospel into, because there's long-term and long-time ramifications. Make sure you're pouring the real Jesus into somebody. And the Jesus I got from Lester Shockley is the most gracious Jesus you've ever seen. This guy loved youth. He allowed in the Jesus movement. You know the story, some of you do. He allowed those youth to come in the late 60s. And I mean, the burnout-looking guys. Jimmy Kerber was a saxophone player for Ike and Tina Turner. Got saved in those meetings. There were many individuals through those years that Lester Shockley impacted, and I'm one of them. You see, it's not about gathering the big crowd. It's about telling the world who this real Jesus is, who is such a mighty God. He has mighty things. If you really want to know the secrets of the universe, you need to serve Christ. I'm serious. He is mighty to save. He has these great and mighty things he wants to tell you. I'm sorry somebody gave you a boring Jesus, but he ain't boring.
That's right.
And he's coming back in a less boring state than he came into this world. And he will come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, riding on a white horse with a sash that says King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's anything but boring, but one day if we continue to ignore the harvest, they'll see him as judge and not as righteous God and Savior. You see, we've got to find out who Jesus really is for ourselves. We've got to stop peddling the Sunday school Jesus. Believe me, I'm a product of Sunday school, and I honor Sunday school. Every Sunday school, anybody that ever taught Sunday school, stand up right now. I'm standing because I taught Sunday school when I was... Everybody that's ever taught Sunday school, give these guys, you are heroes to every generation, whether you taught adults or whether you taught children. Eric, you ought to be standing, Pastor Eric. You ought to be standing, dude. Yes, you ought to be standing. Thank you. Give everybody a hand. If you ever spoke to youth, go ahead and have a seat. Thank you. It's about giving the real Jesus away. I can tell you, in the 7 years that Eric and Shelley were in our youth as our youth pastors, their determination was to give away a fascinating Jesus. Because youth don't want to be there. Do you know why we do? Can I do a 101? Just about 2 minutes of 101 in here. Do you know why we do the service we do? It's so that your kids will never be embarrassed to bring somebody to church with them. Because he ain't boring. And Pastor Mike and you and the worship team, you lead an amazing worship experience that God anoints you and he raises you up and he uses you to bring us as a corporate body into the presence of God. Why? Think about it. Because in Israel, whenever they went into battle, who went in first? Who went in first? We're in a spiritual battle, and we walk in here and we expect God to just give us more, just give us more. The truth is, the Bible says we bring the sacrifice of praise. We bring the sacrifice of praise. And Pastor Mike gets up there with that worship team every Sunday, and they lead us into spiritual battle of praise. Spiritual battle of praise. This isn't a boring journey with Jesus. This is a fascinating war that you and I are declared winners before we ever get into the race. If you're listening by podcast this morning, this Jesus, if anybody ever gave you a boring Jesus, we apologize for that. This Jesus we're talking about is fascinating. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is fascinating. He is great. He is mighty to save. And if he can save someone like me, or and he can forgive someone like me, or if he can forgive I think his name is John Newton, the writer of the song Amazing Grace, a wretch who himself declared that he was responsible for 20,000 souls coming over into slavery from Africa. If he can forgive those types and me, he's a fascinating God, and I really want to know him, because one day, do you know that Earl has met Christ today? Get that. I'm standing by Earl's bed the other day, and I said, Earl, you're about to see him, dude. I know. I said, are you scared? You know, I ask the real questions. I said, are you scared? No. No. Let me tell you something. We better start as a church. I'll say it this way. I have to start first becoming more passionate about this Jesus that I'm giving away. And then we have to, as a church, start discovering why we should be so passionate about Christ. Can I tell you, I'll never have to hear the words, depart from me, workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I'll never have to hear those words. But if the world doesn't know those words are out there, or the world doesn't know these words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Entering, by the way, he's not a liar, is he? He ain't gonna lie about it, is he? Well, we'll let you in. Good job. He's not a liar. It's either well done, it's either been done well, or it hasn't been done well. Oh, I know this is exciting, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
This is the God we serve. This amazing God who wants to reveal things to us about who he is and the hidden secrets. I love watching Ripley's Believe It or Not. I love watching the science channels, discovering things from space that are on the earth and no one can explain. I got a God that's a lot more fascinating than that. And I do watch those shows, by the way. I love watching those shows because nobody can explain it. But I got a God who can. Because I got a God still going, putting new stars into the universe. He didn't stop creating in Genesis. He didn't stop. We don't even know what he did before Genesis. Oh, don't let me rock your doctrine. Don't let me rock your doctrine. We don't. What do you think he sat around and did this? For an eternity before he decided to create man? This is the creator. He declared those words, not us. He is the creator. Creators who have no beginning have always created. And they're still create. He's still creating today. How do I know that? Does anybody in here have a brand new grandchild like I do? Brand new baby. And science says, new stars are being launched all the time. New solar systems being launched all the time. Oh, you want to know what the secrets are? Meet Jesus. Oh, you won't know it all here, but he'll show you. Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, you are a great God, and you truly are mighty to save. God, awaken us to a passion that only you can give with us. But we have to chase it. We have to ask. We have to actually be interested enough to say, show me the hidden things of who you are. Show me. Lord, I'm captivated by your presence. Show me the hidden secrets of who you are. Like a lover. God, you're the one who gave the Song of Solomon. Like a lover. God, I'm so captivated by you. I am so in love with you. I want to know everything about you. Keep talking. I love hearing you talk. I love hearing you speak. That's how we were, Lord, with those we fell in love with. Just every time they'd smile at us and every time they'd say words to us and tell us how much they loved us, we'd say, tell us again. Tell us again. Tell us again. Lord, let it be that you are the lover of our soul, as David declared, that we fall in love with you over and over again. Now stand and give the Lord Most High one of the greatest ovations you could ever give him right now. Father, we worship you. Father, we worship you. Shout to the Lord. Shout. Shout to the Lord. Hallelujah.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.